This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Tech of Tomorrow, brought to you by Oppo.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury and welcome to Tech Talk. We're going to be talking about the tech of the future, specifically about 5G. We're going to be looking at the future development of 5G and how it will not be limited to mobile communication technology. It'll grow into a technology platform that will resonate with cutting-edge technologies, including AI and cloud. 5G will develop and change in ways beyond imagination and provide countless possible technological futures. I'm not an expert on 5G. I have a couple of fellas on the phone line with me who are, though. First up, I'd like to welcome Henry Tang from Oppo. He is their chief 5G scientist. Hi, Henry. How are you?
Hi, Richard. Thank you very much.
Also on the line, a name you might be familiar with, Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm good, thanks. Looking forward to having a chat.
As I said, I'm not an expert on 5G, but I want to kind of get your guys' opinion of this. First off, Henry, what can we actually expect from 5G? How do you think it will transform tech and the mobile experience?
As we know, 5G is the latest generation of mobile technology. And 5G will offer lightning speed, so that is theoretically up to 100 times faster than 4G, and almost unlimited connections, and very low latency and high reliability. So 5G will accelerate mobile device development, allowing users to access more progressive technologies like IoT, AR, VR, Ultra HD, video streaming, cloud computing, and many more new kinds of applications.
From the consumer side, I mean, we're going to see huge changes and evolutions when it comes to entertainment and gaming. We're already seeing the impact of facial recognition systems for things like payment and identification systems. And for me, I think it's going to be interesting to see how technologies like 5G collide with new emerging technologies like non-fungible tokens and other blockchain-dependent technologies to see how they make the most of each other. Mm. And, of course, it's going to open up a lot of those open-world platforms, whether they're games or whether they're virtual environments, as places to consume entertainment, to go to concerts, to experience sport events and esports. So, you know, I think there's a huge number of changes coming through, but a lot of the key to actually making the most of these technologies will be in implementing true 5G networks that use standalone architecture rather than some of the hybrid networks that are being implemented at the moment.
Mm. Henry, you briefly alluded to how much faster it is than current network speeds. How do you think that will affect the end user's experience?
I think we have already achieved more than 4 gigabit per second speed with our partners and on our device, and which means that a 2 gigabyte ultra high definition movie can be downloaded from a streaming service in just 4 seconds. And we may also be able to imagine that many more new applications, new devices, new services will be available to end users in very short time and never imagined before.
For telecommunication providers and manufacturers, you know, what opportunities does 5G provide for that technology?
I think the manufacturers and also for the ecosystem, the ecosystem will have a new chance to upgrade their whole infrastructure and also devices within the era of 5G and to provide a new experience to the users. And this is a chance for the ecosystem to make an upgrade.
Matt?
Well, you know, I think for telecommunications providers, there's still an issue of how they're going to monetize 5G beyond what they're already doing with existing networks like 4G, simply because we're already seeing intensive competition and pricing is actually bringing the cost, or rather the end user price of the data from 5G to the same or similar pricing points of 4G. So, of course, you know, if you couple this with the extension of fiber to the curb, it does offer a new way to structure networks and to offer products to consumers. But we're yet to see exactly how they're going to sort of monetize those situations. Mm. But I think for device makers, it's actually a new way of operating because you're able to incorporate technologies like virtual reality, augmented reality, and these kind of mixed extended realities at a much deeper level. You know, ironically, this is a technology that could make us, in a sense, independent of our screens because we're already seeing this development of voice assistive technologies. So when you couple this ability to keep your device in your pocket and still access a lot of information, then you couple that again with these innovative screen technologies that are allowing smartphones to flip between, you know, phone and tablet mode. I think Oppo has a prototype, the X2021, that has a rollable screen. So these are new ways to actually look at this environment and new ways to actually look at using the devices.
When we look at things like the Internet of Things and 5G and how it's involved in there, are we at the kind of beginning of things right now? Is it really too early to start thinking about, you know, connected factory devices that talk to one another?
Yeah, I think it's not too early to talk about connected device factories because 5G, I think, combined with a further developed artificial intelligence technology will enable the intelligent devices to work in collaboration with each other. That means with the help of 5G and the AI, AI algorithms running on individual devices will be able to communicate to each other in a much, much faster and much smooth, also much more reliable way to make the maybe what we call a connective factory as a whole entity. So rather than a large number of individual devices operating on their own. So this is somehow maybe a vision, not fully implemented for now, but will come in, I think, in a foreseeable future.
Are we looking at things like smart cities and automated vehicles and that kind of thing?
Well, we are. I mean, if I can just go back to the previous question for a second, you know, in a lot of production environments, the slowest unit in that chain is often the human, but it doesn't mean that the human is the least valuable. We're seeing, you know, the expansion of the use of connected devices across the oil and gas industry, and 5G will help to turbocharge this. We're seeing it in agriculture as well. We're seeing smart farms and irrigation, not just in these kind of intense indoor farms, but now outdoors as well, with sensors that monitor the soil quality, the nutrients, the air quality, pollution levels. So I think the hardest thing for us, and as we go into that part about Internet of Things, the hardest thing is going to be for us to visualize the extent to which machines are going to communicate in the future. So, you know, you have to go back and ask yourself, what do you think the Internet of Things is?
Right.
Is it a smart thermostat talking to a home control system, or is it self-driving cars? Is it autonomous drones? Is it smart cities? Is it microsurgery using, you know, remote piloted tools? So all of these things are going to come together. And with 5G, we have the ability to then turbocharge essentially all those devices because they can then access artificial intelligence based in the cloud.
As a consumer, though, should we be worried about energy consumption, Henry, do you think?
As far as I know, so I'm now using a 5G phone. I'm experiencing almost the same, I think, the standby time or usage time of compared to my last generation of 4G. So as a consumer, right, I don't think consumers will be need to be too worried about energy consumption as the technology is also advancing, also along with the semiconductor technology and also energy-saving technology. So for now, I don't see much difference.
The two of you have both touched on how 5G is going to greatly impact these technologies that we're starting to hear more and more, like, you know, AI. And how far away do you genuinely think some of these big changes are? We hear about incremental changes. Matt, you just said, you know, what is the Internet of Things? Is it a smart thermostat, or is it a self-driving car? It's both of those things, right? How far away can we expect, or how long is it until we start seeing real big changes in what 5G can have an impact on?
Well, you know, we really take things for granted. You know, we're talking about the Internet of Things. You know, the things that are devices now are things that we couldn't imagine doing 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Even things as simple as Alexa, Siri, Google Assistant, we can only use those things because of developments in artificial intelligence and specifically in natural language processing. So these changes are happening every single day. The next big wave looks likely that it will be assistive artificial intelligence. So this will give our devices the power to detect our emotions. Mm. And some companies are already working on emotion detecting video conferencing tools. And these promise to reduce that Zoom fatigue that a lot of us feel in these meetings.
Oh, yes.
And they offer the chance to make meetings more productive. So 5G will allow us to harness much more of the power of all of these developments, because that processing end of the artificial intelligence can stay in the cloud, but we can still make use of all of the benefits streamed directly to our device.
Henry, what excites you most about 5G?
I think 5G opens the door to a full bunch of new possibilities. This is the most exciting part of 5G to me.
If I was to put you on the spot, the two of you, and make a slight prediction as to where 5G and the technology behind it is going to be in the next 10 years, what does that look like to you? And let's start with you, Matt.
Well, I think it's very much around the word that Henry used. It's ubiquitous. In 10 years, I imagine we will be taking 5G for granted because it will simply be the norm. You know, we'll probably be looking to 6G by that point. You know, if you think about the 2000s as being the era of 3G, the 2010s as 4G, if the 2020s are going to be 5G, then we'll probably be looking to the next technology then. But everything will be connected and linked. And most importantly, all of those technologies will be mobile. You know, we know the potential of gaming and video and business services. In 10 years, I think we'll truly be enjoying them. If we look at the movement, the work from home movement that we've had over the last 12 months, well, it looks as though work from anywhere is going to be the norm for many businesses. Mm. So 5G technologies will allow us to do everything we can do in an office, we'll be able to do remotely. And when I say remotely, that means from a co-working space, that means from inside your car, that means from, you know, the foyer of the supermarket. And these are just the things that we can actually see. The best thing about these technologies are the things that we can't see, the inventions that we can't think about, that we haven't dreamt up, the ones that just come from somebody's imagination and ingenuity. So I think that's what's exciting me the most, because I want to see the things I can't imagine.
Henry, what about you?
Yes, I think 5G, if we want 5G to be a global success, so we need to still need to make better progress in many ways, like first of all, the infrastructure, deployment of infrastructure, also the availability of a suitable spectrum for 5G to use. For now, the spectrum is still a scarce, quite valuable resource in many regions, and the transition from 4G to 5G is yet to in progress. And just as Matt said before, many regions, operators are still deploying a hybrid mode we call non-standalone or NSA mode of 5G. And NSA mode may not be able to fully leverage the technical advantage of 5G. If we want to fully utilize that, we eventually need to upgrade to the standalone mode of 5G, which will be able to offer a latency much lower than 10 milliseconds. For us, there are still many things to do.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
It's also my pleasure.
You have been listening to a special episode of Tech Talk called The Tech of Tomorrow, where I've been speaking with Henry Tang, the chief 5G scientist for Oppo, and Matt Armitage from CulturePop about the future development of 5G. Tune in next week for episode 2, where we're discussing innovations and commercialization of 5G here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Tech of Tomorrow was brought to you by Oppo. Technology for mankind, kindness for the world.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.